This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Jeremy Smithson, owner of Puget Sound Solar and a Seattle homeowner. Jeremy Smithson is here today to tell us about the 2012 Green Home Tour and to discuss local resources for making homes more environmentally friendly. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you, Diane.
What is the goal of the upcoming 2012 Green Home Tour?
Well, the Green Home Tour was organized by the Northwest Eco Building Guild to really expose as many people as possible to all the different ways that you can make your home green, either through new construction or remodeling or, you know, just even adding things to your home to make it more green.
Would you describe the tour and how it will operate?
Tour basically is a self-guided tour, and you can go online and get the information about the different sites. And there's a variety of different things available, from new construction to remodels, unusual things like the ones we're going to talk about, the modular homes. And then there are also workshops associated with it, as well as a Green Home Expo where you can see materials and techniques and so forth for doing these things.
When will the tour be taking place?
So the tour is April 21st and 22nd, and it's from 10 to 4 each day. And the workshops, I believe, they're on Sunday from 10 to 4, and the Green Home Expo is on Saturday.
Where are the homes located?
Pretty much, you know, anywhere in the greater Seattle area and over on the east side, also on Bainbridge and Kitsap. There are a few sites. So pretty much if you live in the Seattle, Tacoma, Everett area, there will be something nearby that you can drive to.
Where can people find the information they need to take the tour?
So the information is available at seattlegreenhometour.org. And on that website, there's links to the workshops and the expo as well. And the tour is broken down into different geographical areas, so you can pick the one that suits you best.
What types of green features will be on display at the various homes on the tour? What can people see?
Well, there's everything from low toxicity building materials, sustainably harvested lumber type of materials. There's solar energy products and techniques that are available to look at. Other energy saving things like insulation and different methods for saving energy, also saving water, you know, low water use toilets, for example, rainwater harvesting. It's just the whole gamut of different things that you can do to make your home more sustainable.
Well, your home is going to be on display for the tour, but before we specifically speak about your home, would you like to highlight some of the other homes that may be of special interest that you can see on the tour?
Well, I don't have any particular favorites, but I think, you know, it kind of depends on where you live, you know, what might be available nearby. I don't want to particularly pick favorites, but I think you had a couple in mind that you wanted to talk about.
Well, the ones I had noticed that I was curious about, one is called Green Pods. Would you like to talk about those?
Sure. Well, the Green Pods use a modular building technique, and this is a really efficient way to construct homes because most of the construction is done in a factory situation, and then these modules are then transported to the building site and assembled. This is something that's been done very successfully for years in Japan. And it's something that I think could be adopted here. Here in the U.S., builders are so used to stick framing and building homes piece by piece that, you know, these things are kind of slow to be adopted. Even techniques like using structural insulated panels or SIPs are kind of slow to catch on because most builders are just used to putting up 2x4s or 2x6s and nailing them together. But these modular homes really are a much more efficient way to construct and do the finishes and so forth in the factory.
Would you like to speak also about cargo cottages, of which there is one on the tour?
So a cargo cottage is a pretty interesting concept where shipping containers are used as the core of the home. These are pretty small homes, at least the cargo cottage versions are anywhere from 160 to 640 square feet, so they're pretty small. But they lend themselves well to that micro house lifestyle. And the structure itself is already built, the shipping container. They're using basically a used product, so they're reusing this resource, and there are a lot of them. I don't know if you've ever driven down the 99 where it hits Marginal Way, but there are mountains of these shipping containers, and it's definitely a wise use of this type of material. So I've seen examples of this for several years now in the Solar Decathlon, which is a national contest where colleges compete to see who can build the most solar efficient home. And a lot of the students picked shipping containers, at least in the past. They've used shipping containers as the core of the house because it's a really easy way to start with a structure. And then a lot of times they'll just pack everything into that container to transport it to the site where the decathlon is. So the shipping containers, you know, they can be used in a number of different ways. You can stack them together in different ways. So it's kind of an interesting use of that resource.
And I guess on the tour also, there are some net zero energy dwellings, and one of them belongs to the couple that I had interviewed from Ballard back in January.
Yeah, so net zero energy, the concept is that the home produces energy as well as consuming it, and over a year's time, you ideally want to have a net of zero energy consumption. So here in the Pacific Northwest, our primary source of energy is going to be solar, and we get most of that in 6 months. So you will net meter that solar energy, and then you will be able to use it as the weather deteriorates towards the fall and winter because you've actually accumulated that in your electricity account. So a net zero home, there are a lot of different ways to achieve it, but you really have to look at the primary energy uses in a home, which would be space heating, water heating, refrigeration, and plug loads, and that sort of thing. So you have to make the home very tight and efficient and with low heat loss, number one. And then you want to have efficient use of hot water, number two, and then some way to bring the solar energy in, which can be passive solar or it can be solar water heating and also solar electricity generation.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Jeremy Smithson, owner of Puget Sound Solar and a Seattle homeowner. Our topic is the upcoming 2012 Green Home Tour, which takes place April 21st and 22nd. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Now let's talk about your home and the steps that you've taken over the years to make it more environmentally friendly. And I understand that your home is 100 years old and you've been in it for 15 years. Would you like to talk about the situation you started out with and the steps you've taken to become more energy efficient and environmentally friendly?
Sure. So our house was built in 1908. It's a typical Seattle house for that period. It's a little on the small side, but it was expanded into the basement at some point in its life and remodeled a couple of times over its lifetime. When we bought it, the energy use was about 19,000 kilowatt hours a year. It's an all-electric home, so all the energy used in the home goes through 1 meter, which makes it easy to measure. And the home was pretty drafty, although some things had been done to it. There was a foot of insulation in the attic when we bought it, and there were some early double pane windows, most of which had lost their seal, so they had fogged up and they weren't really very effective anymore. So that's what we started with. And in the early days, I kind of was daydreaming about solar panels. And I thought, well, maybe I could just put a couple of solar panels up and we'll make all our electricity. And then I did the math and realized that the roof was not even a quarter big enough to do that. So if I had covered the entire roof with solar panels at the time, it wouldn't even made a quarter of that energy. So we started looking at where the energy was going, and most of it was heat loss. So that's where we started. We super insulated, we changed the windows, and we added more insulation in the attic, and that reduced our heat load by 2/3. So that's a pretty big reduction. We added solar water heating, and at the end of the first year after we did that, our energy use was down by 55%. So then we added a solar electric system, and we did some more work as far as changing some appliances. Over the years, we changed all the lighting out to CFLs, and now LEDs. We've got a bunch of LED lights. And at the end of the year, after we installed the solar electric system, our energy use was down by 84%. So we were using about 15 or 16% of the energy that we had used originally. Pretty good drop. And that kind of gave us the idea that maybe we could get to zero. So we're still working on that. We've since done a lot of air sealing, which was something that we had not done in the beginning. About 3.5 years ago, a friend of ours was getting into the energy audit business, and he asked us if he could use us as a guinea pig and come over with his blower door. So we said, yeah, fine. So he brought over his blower door, and he did a blower door test, and we discovered that the house was pretty leaky. So that was what got us started sealing up all of those cracks. Old homes have a lot of places where air can actually blow through. And when you've got a winter storm and there's a 25-mile-an-hour wind outside, that puts a lot of pressure on the windward side of the house, and air tends to move through the house pretty handily. People notice drafts in their homes, you know, when it's stormy out. So ours was no exception. So we did some of that air sealing work, and then we later on got into the energy audit business ourselves and brought our own blower door over and tested it again. And we had made some improvements, but we also used a thermal imager, which allowed us to really see where that air was leaking in. You literally can see like little fingers of cold air coming in around, you know, trim and things like that. And we found some pretty big leaks that were hidden. There was no way we could have seen them without that device. So we went after that. That was one of my summer projects. I used 3 cans of foam and 12 tubes of caulk and did some more air sealing, and that made a big difference. But there were still some drafty spots in the house. So we finally said, okay, we've got to get the professionals. So we brought our own crew in, and they ran the blower door while they did the air sealing around the rim of the, between the first and second floor. And they did air sealing up in the attic and added more insulation in the attic. And that also made a big difference. So we're currently now measuring the house again. We've just got a monitoring device that allows us to measure specific things like the water heater and the space heating and how much energy is going into our office and how much is going to different parts of the house. Like we charge electric vehicles now, so we want to know how much energy is going into those, as well as how much we're producing from the solar energy systems.
What were the biggest challenges in making all these changes that you just talked about?
Well, I would say that the first part of it was the most invasive because we had to take out all the windows. That's a pretty big deal. The super insulating, we found a pretty neat technique for doing that, where if you've got an old house, you've got 2x4 walls, and you're kind of limited to what you can do with those 2x4 walls. So we blew in cellulose insulation, which is a really inexpensive way and effective way to add insulation to an old home. But then your wall is about R13 or so. So we wanted to go beyond that and ended up using rigid foam insulation. And the kind that we bought was 2¾ inches thick, and it's rated at R19. And we just put that right over the old plaster and lath and then put a new layer of drywall on top of that. And since we were doing the windows at the same time, those two projects worked well together because we had to retrim the windows anyway since we had replaced them. So a new trim around the windows. We actually bought old trim at Restore and Second Use Building Materials, two excellent sources for reclaimed building materials. And by the time we were done, our walls were R34, which is really a high insulation value for a wall. And that's pretty amazing in a 103-year-old house, but we found a pretty easy way to do it. But that was the most invasive part of the process. Everything else after that has been basically adding things on, like the solar water heater or changing appliances or light bulbs and that kind of thing.
Well, your home is going to be on display for the tour. What will you be pointing out to people when they come to take a look?
Well, probably as many of those features as we can. We have different places where we can show people what we've done. We've also added rainwater harvesting. We've got some sustainable landscaping outside. We grow vegetables and whatnot. So all those things will be part of the tour. Anybody can come and, you know, if you're interested in any one of those aspects, come by and chat with us about it, or if you want to talk about it all, that's fine. We're happy to show you everything.
Do you think it will be feasible for you to get to net zero energy?
I do. It's a little cost prohibitive for us right now, but well, let me backtrack a sec. The house used to have a forced air furnace system, and somebody had changed that to an electric furnace at some point. So we really didn't like that. It was kind of like having a hairdryer blowing at you. So we took out the electric furnace and we put in what's called staple-up hydronic heating. We put PEX tubing loops under the floor, and it actually heats both ways. It heats up through the floor and also heats down through the ceiling to the lower floor. And it's a very comfortable way to heat. And because we super insulated the house, the only heat source we need for that is an electric water heater, which is really kind of a low wattage device compared to the electric furnace. Just to give you an example, the electric furnace used to use two 60-amp circuits and a 20-amp circuit. That's a lot of electricity. Now we heat the entire house with one 30-amp circuit. So we really reduced the amount of energy going in, but it still uses the majority of the energy going into the house over a year's time. So there's a heat pump water heater, not the kind that you can get at Home Depot, but this is called an air-to-water heat pump. There's one made by a company called Daikin, which is a Japanese manufacturer. And actually in Japan, they've been using these air-to-water heat pumps for quite a while now. And that would probably bring us down to net zero because the heat pump will use probably about a third of the electricity that the water heater uses that we're using now. But the cost is a little high. It's about $8,000 for the heat pump. So we're kind of waiting for that price to come down, and that'll be our next move, I think.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Jeremy Smithson, owner of Puget Sound Solar and a Seattle homeowner. Our topic is the 2012 Green Home Tour, which takes place Saturday and Sunday, April 21st and 22nd. You alluded to this earlier, but in addition to viewing homes, could you elaborate on the other events that are taking place as part of the 2012 Green Home Tour?
Right. So on Saturday is the Green Home Expo. It's going to be taking place at Green Depot. And Green Depot is in the south end of Seattle on First Avenue South. And they offer various products there for making your home more green or more sustainable. And there will be different vendors displaying those products. The workshops on Sunday will be taking place at Green Home Solutions, which is on Nickerson Street at the north end of Queen Anne. And the workshops will be sponsored by Community Power Works. Community Power Works is a Seattle nonprofit that is helping homeowners do energy retrofits. And Community Power Works has teamed up with Seattle City Light and the City of Seattle, and they offer rebates and so forth for energy efficiency retrofits on homes. So the Community Power Works people put together this series of workshops, and that's where you can learn about the different techniques that are used for measuring energy loss and so forth in a home, and then the different things that you can do to make your home more energy efficient.
Well, you mentioned Community Power Works. Would you like to comment on this Community Power Works program as a resource for homeowners?
Community Power Works is a program that there's federal funding that basically makes it possible, and it's in conjunction with the City of Seattle and City Light. And their target is to retrofit, well, the original goal was to retrofit 2,000 homes in the Seattle area. There was some criticism, I don't mind mentioning, of this program in the early days because it kind of got off to a slow start. And there were some people that criticized the program for not doing enough homes in that initial period. And it's true, it did get off to a rather slow start. I think the promotion of it was a little slow, but it's really gaining speed now. And the advantage to homeowners is fantastic. There are rebates from Seattle City Light, and there are also rebates from the Community Power Works program for different things that you do to your home. So for insulation, for adding a heat pump in place of a regular furnace, and so forth. There are different things that you can get these rebates for, and there's low interest financing available. So the financing is kind of painless in that you get the bill for the loan through your utility bill rather than paying for the energy, you're now paying for the work that was done to reduce the energy load. And then by the time the loan is retired, now your total energy bill is lower. Plus, your house is more sustainable. So we think it has a lot of potential. The program runs for another year and a half, I think. And it started out in the south end of Seattle. It was really like east of I-5 and south of, I think it was Mercer Street, kind of a wiggly line. But they've since expanded it to the whole city. So as of January, the Community Power Works program is now available to anybody in the city of Seattle.
And is there a rebated audit also as part of the program?
Yeah. So City Light has a really generous rebate on the audit. The cost of the energy audit, which is an energy assessment is another way to describe it. Audit is kind of has a bad connotation. It makes people think of tax audits and things like that. But an energy assessment really looks at the whole energy picture of your house. It includes blower door testing, thermal imaging, combustion efficiency testing and safety testing, visual inspections, and so forth. And from this energy audit, you get a list of things that you can do to reduce the energy loads in your house. And the list, I think, is really the working part of this energy assessment because it gives a homeowner, you know, really a roadmap toward reducing energy. And you can pick anything off of that list and do it. And you can do it now with the Community Power Works program with these rebates, or you can do it later if you want. It's a $400 audit, so, you know, fairly expensive, but Seattle City Light picks up the tab for $305 of those dollars, so the homeowner only pays $95. It's a really good deal.
Looking at other resources for homeowners, would you now comment just briefly on the Solarize Washington program that I know you've been involved with in the Magnolia neighborhood? What is the approach of this program and what are its advantages?
So the Solarize program was based on something that was done in Portland a couple of years ago. And in Portland, there was not a lot of solar energy systems being installed and the price was kind of high. So somebody came up with the idea, well, why don't we try to stimulate that by forming a nonprofit and informing people about the advantages of using solar energy and then also creating sort of a group buy situation. So Northwest Seed, which is a nonprofit up here in Seattle, picked up on that and they said, why don't we do that in Seattle? So they started out in the Queen Anne neighborhood. And the next neighborhood was Magnolia, basically going neighborhood by neighborhood. Now they're working in the Northeast area. They've also started one up in Camino and Stanwood in the Snohomish PUD area. And really what happens, there are kind of four key things that attract people to these. Number one, you're getting the information from a trusted source. So it's like a third party giving you the information about the advantages and so forth of solar energy, rather than having like a solar panel salesman, you know, giving you the high pressure thing. This is more like neighbors telling you, hey, you know, we did this, you can do this too. So that's one aspect of it. Quality assurance is another. There's a committee in each neighborhood that really vets the contractors that are involved in the program. So contractors compete to be in the program through a regular proposal process. And then they get interviewed by the neighborhood committee. So there's quality assurance. And then there's what we like to call the perception of a deal. But there are some advantages to having a number of people in the same neighborhood do this at the same time. So there are cost savings involved. I'm not going to tell you exactly what those cost savings are because it can vary. But, you know, it does give you a better deal. And then the fact that you get this information spread out over this whole neighborhood through a lot of different channels, basically neighbors talking to each other, social media, you know, advertisement, what have you. So it really kind of raises the awareness of, you know, what solar energy can do, and then also at the same time attracts people to the program because of the cost savings.
How much has been accomplished so far in the Seattle area via this program?
I haven't actually kept track of it, but I know that in Queen Anne and Magnolia, that in those two neighborhoods, there were about 60 solar energy systems installed. And that might not sound like a lot, but I know that in Queen Anne, there were probably, half a dozen or maybe 10 solar energy systems before the program started. So just in that 3 month, well, actually it's a total of 6 months period, but I think it's 3 months during which the homeowners can apply for the program. They increased the number from, you know, maybe 10 to 40 systems on Queen Anne. Magnolia was kind of the same deal. I think we maybe had a dozen or so people over in Magnolia that had solar energy systems before the program, and now there's more than 40. So really in a short period of time, you know, it does quite a bit. And I think the best way to look at those numbers is probably to go to the Solarize Washington website, because they do keep track of those things there.
Overall, how widespread are solar installations throughout the city at this point?
We've still got a long ways to go. When my partner Pam and I started out in this business, this was our business plan. We figured, okay, there's 350,000 Seattle City Light customers. There's got to be 100 of them that want to do solar. That was our business plan. And we did get to that first 100, and now we're up to about 400 or so. But when you think about it, that's just a drop in the bucket. So we really have a long ways to go. I mean, if 1% of Seattle customers put solar energy systems on their home, that would be 3,600 households. So we've got a ways to go, but the potential is there. It's really, Seattle is a great place to do solar, contrary to what people might tell you. And we do get that question a lot. The first question we get quite often is, well, can you really do solar up here in the Pacific Northwest? And the answer is yes, it works quite well here.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, it would encourage everybody to consider going on the Green Home Tour, if nothing else, to see what other folks are doing. There are so many different ways to make your home more sustainable, to save energy. It keeps money in the local economy rather than shipping it out to natural gas producers in Wyoming and British Columbia and coal producers over in Montana. So by all means, if you are interested in doing any work on your home at all in the next year or so, check out the Green Homes Tour. There are a lot of ideas that you'll get.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Jeremy.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me, Diane.
You have just been listening to Jeremy Smithson, owner of Puget Sound Solar and a Seattle homeowner, speak about the 2012 Green Home Tour, which takes place Saturday and Sunday, April 21st and 22nd from 10 to 4 p.m. For more information, check on the web at seattlegreenhometour.org. Again, that's seattlegreenhometour.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.